Makeup.
It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the French. So we're continuing with France. Tonight. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport Mass.
BeaverHill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery. New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93. That's the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebach Winery.
We are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Flathead Lake Winery, and we're located at Cushion Park in Montana.
Famous Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
Yay.
Bus people, they're a little subdued tonight. Got bad weather.
Yes, they're all somewhat indoors underneath the large metal frame tent that we have out back. So, yes, with arrows pointing towards the high point of it, just in case.
Run, bus people, run.
And we give everyone complimentary lightning rods to hold on to that they can hold up high during special parts of the show. So we appreciate that. And thank you for your support.
Run, bus people, run.
A little bit later, there will be a free barbecue served, depending on how much lightning we have here. But no, it's not. I don't know if that's a. We'll probably get that. Hey, that'll bring up the messages, won't it? Now, oh, here we are. We had a week off of the show last week, and just one of those things that happened, and we're back.
We're back. Yeah, one of those things happened.
Yeah. That's right. And we do have a guest tonight from Missouri, and Ron's going to go on with the program now with Ron, and we'll get the guest on in a few minutes. And y'all want to call in, definitely call into the show and talk to the guest and talk to Ron. It's All About Wine. The phone number to call is 646-727-3235. Call now. Oh.
Nope, no phone calls.
Okay, call. How about now? Call now. Okay. Go ahead. I'm not.
No, I guess not. Oh, if we do get a phone call, my cousin, in fact, this last weekend I had a big cousin reunion, saw a lot of relatives I had not seen in years and years and years. I don't even tell you how many. But I had one cousin who listens to the program, he says, regularly, and he's going to call in and harass us. So if we do get a phone call, it may be from him. So, Danny, if you're out there listening to me, don't call. We know it's you already. So we're gonna do Missouri again tonight. We're going to jump around. I had an opportunity to go up to Missouri and to Iowa. And so, that reminds me. I was telling you I was telling Mike we have guests for the next 3 weeks. Actually, we have guests for the next 4 weeks because I talked to a winery in Iowa who's going to join us in a few weeks here. Very nice winery, one of the biggest ones in Iowa. A great winery, and just a lot of neat stuff up there and everything else, and a real nice winery. And had a chance to taste some wines that we talked to some of our guests about that they make, and I had an opportunity to taste some of them, an Edelweiss that this winery up there makes. So that's coming up too. So we're pretty much set for the month of October for guests just from my visit up to Iowa. And then Mike's going to head out to Colorado at the end of this month and see if he can't get some more guests lined up from Colorado. So, and if I'm not mistaken, we were not calling guests when we were doing Colorado and getting them on the air. So, if you know,
I looked it up. I looked it up or something. I think the time or something, they're very limited. I have to go back on my sheet. But, I looked it up when we did Colorado, and it was a ways back. And I don't know if it was the season or if we just, we just weren't calling them yet. That's right, because we only upgraded that to the beginning of this year, wasn't it?
Yes.
Somewhere around there? Yeah, that's right. So maybe that was.
We went through the A, B, C's, and D's, I think, and we were into the E's and F's, all the states that started with E and F that we started calling. Mm-hmm. And so that we started getting them on the air. I don't think we were getting them on the air back in Colorado. So now might be able to get some wineries on the air. Mike's going to try to visit some of them and a meadery even out there and stuff like that. So we may get ourselves hooked up with some Colorado calls in November. So we've got some great programming coming up for the rest of this year here. So stay tuned. Keep tuning in. And you any suggestions or anything, as always, get in touch with us, which you don't. I was telling a bunch of my relatives that nobody ever gets in touch with us. We get quite a few listeners, and my relatives all came up with the conclusion is because everybody is so happy with the job that we're doing here that they don't have to make suggestions.
Until you mispronounce something.
Yes.
When you mispronounce something. It's like, oh, they don't hesitate to send an email.
They don't hesitate one bit to let me know.
No. Oh.
That's how we get them riled up. That's how we get people to call
the grammar,
the grammar police,
the grammar and the grammar and the grammar and speaking people. That was a good bolt of lightning. Wow, that was close.
Going on here, Missouri. So we've got a Missouri restaurant actually tonight. It's not a winery, but like I say, anything associated with wine. This is all about wine, and so anything associated with wine. And this restaurant is called Willow Spring Mercantile. It bills itself as the largest seller of Missouri wines in the United States, if not the world, which probably if they're the biggest in the United States, no doubt they will be the biggest in the world. So I can't see, a restaurant in France carrying a whole bunch of Missouri wine. So obviously it is, but one of the things they passed out, and I'm going to go through this quickly with you here just to get you caught up. It's a Missouri wine timeline. I thought this was rather interesting here. Now, let me quickly read through this to you and without paraphrasing, and then by that time we'll be ready to get our guest on. 1837, German settlers established the town of Hermann on the banks of the Missouri River. Although too rocky for many crops, the ground around Hermann was well suited for growing wine grapes. A decade later, Hermann's wineries were producing over 10,000 gallons a year. Eventually, over 60 wineries populated the small town, and by the 1880s, wine lovers in America and Europe were enjoying 2 million gallons of Missouri wine each year. Wow, substantial. 1870s, a dangerous vineyard pest destroyed enormous tracts of vineyards in France. Missouri helped rebuild the European vineyards by sending resistant American stock to be grafted with French vine cuttings. The resultant vines proved extremely hardy, and soon the French wine industry was back on its feet. And I'm going to make a little aside here. It always seems that every state we go to, they're always the ones that saved the French from phylloxera. It's always fascinating how everybody was the one that saved it. But, in reality, wine was sent in from everybody and everywhere, our grape vines. And so, we have to give credit to this country for saving the French on that. Late 1800s, Italian immigrants established vineyards in the St. James area of Missouri. Missouri wine industry thrived at the turn of the century with about 100 wineries throughout the state. 1919, Prohibition. It was repealed 13 years later, devastating, as we have talked before, to the wine industry. 1960s and 1970s, the rebirth of the Missouri wine industry began, restoration of some of the original wineries. I'm sorry. I, 1980s, new tax on wine enabled the Missouri, the establishment of the Missouri Wine and Grape Program. A state viticulturist was hired to assist in the restoration process, and the Missouri State University's Fruit Experiment Station began working with winemakers to determine grape varieties suitable for Missouri climates. And 2000s, the early 2000s, Missouri wine industry in the new millennium is thriving. The number of wineries has jumped to over 65, and Missouri wineries are producing diverse, complex, and sophisticated wines. Wines that easily earn top awards in national and international competition. 2003, the Norton Arcentiano variety is passed in legislation as Missouri's official state grape. Missouri has an official state grape. 2005, the Missouri Wine and Grape Board was formed. 2006, the Institute for Continental Climate Viticulture and Enology was established, called the ICCVE, funded by the Missouri Wine and Grape Board, conducts research on grape varieties and vineyard management techniques that contribute to the growth of the wine industry in Missouri and the Midwest. And in 2010, with over 92 wineries in the state and top recognition throughout the country, Missouri is leading the way for quality winemaking. The specific tourist industry is number one dollar-wise in the state. Now, that's saying quite a bit, considering that Missouri has quite a bit of tourist-oriented stuff throughout the state. You have to look at things like Kansas City, Missouri, which is good for conventions and stuff. You have to look at St. Louis, which is the gateway to the West and all the stuff there, including football and baseball, just like Kansas City has, including soccer also. You also have to really look at Branson, Missouri. Branson, Missouri is now enormously large for music and stuff. It is rivaling Nashville and for music capital of the country, simply because of all the big areas that they have there, all the big, not casinos, but the big halls and stuff that they use to, that all these celebrities have built for their own venue. So when you start considering you start considering all the different things that are throughout Missouri, throughout the state of Missouri, and what's going on in the state of Missouri, to say that the wine industry is now the largest tourist attraction coming into the state, then that's really quite a bit saying. About it and talking about it and all that. So we'll be getting Daphne or Jim on in a little bit here. They let me leave a quick note here. Okay. So when you start considering all the stuff that is going on in Missouri, to say that the number one thing in Missouri, the wine, tourism wine industry, is the number one dollar-wise in the state, that's really stating a lot for the state of Missouri and for what wine is doing. They have, with 92 wineries throughout the state and actually growing. This was done in 2010. So since 2010, I'm sure that it has popped up even more and has gotten more wineries that have sprung up around the state. So we will now talk to we have Daphne on Daphne Bowman from Willow Springs Mercantile. I'll get Daphne on the air here. Hello, Daphne. Welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, what? Now, I called you, and Jim didn't know anything about it. Don't you talk to Jim?
No. We're always running in opposite directions. I'm
okay.
Sorry about that. No, he did. He just forgot, and I forgot to tell him this afternoon. We've been very busy. We actually just got in 30 cases of pumpkin wine, and so it has been a zoo as people come and pick up all of their pumpkin wine today. So
pumpkin wine from who? Who made that?
that's Wynwood Farm Winery, and they are in Bland, Missouri, kind of in the middle of our state. They're by Jefferson City, and every year they make a really nice Riesling-style wine with a pumpkin mash. And it's not super strong. It just has a subtle pumpkin finish. It's not nearly as odd-sounding as it is amazing in flavor. And so we take a wait list every year, and we have literally had a door that's been open all day with people coming and getting their pumpkin wine for the season. So it's been a little nuts around here.
That sounds fascinating. Pumpkin wine. A little bit of pumpkin-type spices or just straight pumpkin?
No, what the winemaker does is he starts to ferment the white wine in a barrel, and he creates a pumpkin mash with pumpkin and seasonings, and then he puts that into the tank and lets it settle through, you know, just like you would with a red wine. And so it's very similar to that style of winemaking, but instead of the grapes, and I think they call it the lees,
yes.
Instead of that, they actually use the mash to give it the flavor.
Oh, sounds fascinating. It really does. I was telling a little bit of people, I read, you gave me a paper here, and I went through a little timeline of Missouri, and one of the last things on this here says this specific tourism industry is number one dollar-wise in the state, talking about wineries. That's really, I mean, I was pointing out, you know, to the listeners, that's really quite amazing when you consider that you have Branson, Missouri, for one, in the
right.
state of Missouri, and yet
right.
wineries are number one?
Number one in tourist dollar revenues, yes. It is, it's actually a growing part of our state industry, and that's why the state has really hopped on to continuing to motivate and grow that industry, because really does generate a large volume of tourism in our state. And so it's very exciting. We have over 130 different wineries in our state now. So, and it's growing by leaps and bounds.
Well, just on your timeline here, 2010 says you have over 92. You now have over 130?
130, uh-huh.
Wow, Missouri has exploded. I never realized they had that many now. Why so many Missouri wines? Tell us what got you all started in this. Tell us why you decided to do this. Tell us if it's a chore that you wish you hadn't.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, we have been in a service industry and with restaurants and customer service most of our life, and wines have always been a part of the, you know, the food industry. And so both of us are we've kind of developed a passion for wines, loved wines from all over the world, but we had met, actually, Mr. and Mrs. Pirtle at one of our former jobs, and Pirtle Winery is in Weston, Missouri. They're one of the oldest wineries on this side of our state, and as we built a relationship with them, we started, you know, enjoying their wines, and then started frequenting other wineries, and started really developing a passion for what was in, you know, in our own state, even though we enjoyed wines from everywhere. And as we started developing our shop with different things, one of the things we knew was that we wanted to add wine to it at some point. And there are so many different little wine shops all over. We really wanted to set ourselves apart and make ourselves a little more unique. And then knowing how the wine industry was growing, we thought it would be fun to just showcase the best of Missouri wines. And so weren't really sure when we started, you know, how successful. A lot of people thought we were crazy and said we'd never make a living just selling Missouri wines. And those folks that had originally said that had wine shops that said we'd never make it, many of them are out of business, and we're actually going stronger and better than ever. So, you know, we've actually really enjoyed this industry. We've met, it's brought us a lot of customers that we wouldn't have met otherwise that follow the industry, and we've turned those customers into very dear friends. In fact, we're getting ready to take a wine trip with some of our customers here to a winery in southern Missouri later on this month. And we'd have never been able to get to know them had it not been for what we offered. And the winemakers. A lot of the wineries in our state are small boutique wineries, so they're, you know, they're people just like us who are trying to make a living doing something a little more unique and turning their passion into a lifestyle. And so that's what we've really enjoyed, is getting to know the winemakers, learning about the industry, growing it, and then sharing it with other folks.
Fantastic. That sounds like a task that I think a lot of other places would like to do too within their states. I mean, it's something that would really be unique for every state to carry stuff like that.
Right. Well, and I believe every state in the United States now does have a winery or two or more. And so,
actually, they do. Yes.
So it's kind of fun. It's fun watching the whole industry explode all over the place.
It is definitely exploding. We're finding that out more and more. Looking at your list here, you really have quite a few different wines. Tell us about your wine list and how it came about, and why the wineries that you have.
Sure. The way that it first started was, of course, Mr. and Mrs. Purtle being friends. They were, our first winery. So when we started adding wines, we had to think, okay, how can we get the wines in our shop? How do you get the wine from the winemaker to our shop? And most of these boutique wineries don't have distributors. Some do. As the industry grows, it's becoming more and more common for them to pick up distributors. But what we did was we looked at the ones that we felt were far enough away but close enough to home that we could get them fairly quickly in the shop, start promoting them, and then we slowly grew from that. So we added wines from around our area first, Jowler Creek, Purtle Winery. Those were, I think, our first two. Baltimore Bend came later. They're about 35, 40 minutes from us. And so we thought, okay, in a day, let's pick up wine, bring it back, and start selling it. And then as customers started hearing that we were selling Missouri wines, then they said, oh, you know who we love? We love so-and-so. Can you bring them in? And so as folks would come in and say, oh, my gosh, we love Missouri wines. This is one of our favorite wineries. Can you get them? Then the list started growing from there. And then as it grew, we had to creatively figure out a way to create a wine route that would effectively and in a short amount of time allow us to go pick up wine from all over the state and bring it back to our shop. So the fun part of our job is about once a month we go out and pick up anywhere from 30 to 40 cases of wine from around our state. We spend a night or two out and about enjoying, different towns, very similar to our little historic town here, visiting with people in shops and we pick up the wine, we bring it back, and then we get to share it with our customers for a month or so, and then we go back out and do it again. And as the industry has gotten bigger, there are probably about 10 to 15, maybe half of our wineries now are with a distributor, so they're starting to come to us. So that's nice. That's the only way we've been able to grow our list, because the busier we get, the harder it is to get out there picking up those wines and bringing them back. But I tell you, it's a tough job, but we absolutely love it. So, we get to travel a little bit. We get to take our children with us sometimes, and they get to see, beautiful Missouri countryside. They get to see other small businesses like, what Mom and Dad are doing, and watch the workings and the goings on of I guess maybe, how America was built. So it's a lot of fun. And our kids have been a big part of it too, which is nice. This is a business where even though it is wine, people are comfortable enough with our children being here. They sit at the tables and share experiences with the customers. And so it's turned into a really, really fun business that has allowed us to do a lot of different things that we wouldn't have been able to do otherwise.
The wine list. There's a lot of wine on the wine list. Do you actually sell all these, or do you carry them?
We have every single one of these in our shop. I believe at last count it was, I don't know if you counted, but I think it's close to 150 or 160 different wines. And
wow.
So we're trying to grow it all at the time. So I'm hoping in the next month or so, we try and add a new winery every couple of months. And so we've had some some more requests for some wines in the southern part of our state, which is an area that we haven't ventured to yet. We've ventured west, middle, east, but we haven't really headed south. So that's kind of our next area to venture. So hopefully in the next month or two, as we make this next wine trip down to southern Missouri, we're going to be able to find a couple more wineries that we can bring back and add to the list.
I noticed something else I want to ask, too. On your list here, all the different wineries that you have, I noticed like a Norton from many different wineries. That is the official Missouri grape, I'm going to point out here. But also, do you find that there's a difference, a major difference in style between these wineries? I mean, if I go in and I pick up, say, a Norton from, say, Yowler Creek, and I'll decide to pick up one from Wine Flower, am I going to see a big difference, or is it going to be Norton?
Well, the Norton in particular has a very distinct flavor. So there will be some underlying characteristics that are going to be the same, but winemakers create that particular wine so very differently. Some of them do it in oak. Some of them do it in stainless steel. Some of them sweeten it up. Some of them like it very, very dry with the residual sugar completely gone. That particular grape is so full of rich berries, and then it's also so full of tannins and earth and a lot of acid that it's a very hard wine to balance. So what's fun, actually, I'm glad you brought that grape up. That one, a lot of our Chambersons will run similar in style with just a few very small nuances that make them unique. But the Norton is so vastly different across the board from winemaker to winemaker. And that's a fun one to share with folks because you mentioned Wine Flower. Wine Flower's Norton, he leaves more residual sugar in it and just a hint of oak. And so for someone who typically can't tolerate a heavy, dry red, they haven't quite got there yet with their wine palate, when we mention that we want them to try a Norton and they've tried one before, they usually say, oh, no, I can't do Norton. I'm just not ready for it. And then we say, well, let us, you know, humor us. Let us let you try this particular one. Every time they sample it, they cannot believe it's a Norton. He's done a really nice job of balancing that and keeping the fruit in it, a hint of earthiness, but not so much that you feel like you're chewing bark at the end of the sip. So that one's a fun one. Then there's a lot of winemakers who like to really oak it up and make it heavy and chewy and earthy. So there's a huge difference in the Norton and how it comes across depending on how the winemaker wants to roll it out and meet the needs, I guess, of his customers.
You brought up Wine Flower. We talked to Wine Flower on the program. In fact, I had a chance to visit him about a month ago, and he was on the program, and I had a chance to taste his Norton, and I was surprised at the fruitiness, the sweetness, actually, that came out in it, because I enjoy a Norton. In fact, it's amazing, because there is a winery not too far from my winery down here that does a Norton, and Vernon at Wine Flower does a great job of bringing the sweetness down in it, because you can't have a sweet Norton that is well balanced and not overpowering, and like you said, the unique taste of a Norton. So he does an excellent job on that. And I noticed also that some call it a Norton and some call it a Cynthiana. It is the same grape, but you know, the difference in the names and all that. Do you find people coming in asking for a Cynthiana or?
Yep. You know, the funny thing is Norton is what I prefer to call it just because I think it's a fun name. But most people think that Cynthiana is a more elegant name, and so they like that better just from, I guess, maybe a marketing standpoint. But I'm glad Missouri used the word Norton. And basically it is the exact same grape. You know, once they did DNA testing, they were able to tell, oh, my gosh, we've got, you know, two names, same grape, which is probably, I'm assuming, happened more than just with the Norton and the Cynthiana. But what I've been told is that it depends on where you buy your rootstock as to what the name is. So if you buy it from someone who, if you buy your grapes from someone who calls in Cynthiana, you call it Cynthiana. You can't change the name. And if you buy your rootstock from someone who's growing the Norton to plant in your vineyard, then you're going to call it Norton. So it just depends on what the gentleman who or the company that's growing the grapes for you to plant, for the winemakers or vineyards to plant, that's where they decide what you're going to call it. So.
And that's usually, if you get your rootstocks from Arkansas, it's going to be Cynthiana. And just about everywhere else is Norton, it seems.
It's Norton, yeah. And I love the Norton name. It's my favorite name. I just think it's the best. And I, like you, it is one of my favorite wines. Now, I had to grow into it when I started drinking Missouri Reds. That one was a hard one. We were drinking Pinot Noirs and Merlots and that really liked that nice balanced flavor that just kind of was, very mellow. And then you get that Norton and you get that, it's like putting a bit of grape jelly in your mouth and then finishing with a little bit of wood,
Yeah.
You're going to finish
with
a bite of bark. And so I had to get used to that. But now, boy, if the wine doesn't have all those components in it, no matter what I drink, I'm like, oh, it just doesn't have much flavor because I'm so spoiled with all of the flavors that happen in your mouth, with a Norton. So I always tell people it makes your tongue dance.
Yeah. I've always enjoyed the Norton. I've discovered it years ago. Very few wineries made it, and I discovered it years ago. Now, everywhere. It's just about anybody who can get it into the ground and grow makes a Norton. We've talked to wineries all around, and a lot of people plant a Norton.
Right.
Use
oh,
Norton.
Good. That's good to know. Well, what I do know is it's very hard to get started, and if you get it started in your vineyard, then it's very easy to maintain, except that it's very, it's a very aggressive grape because it is Native American. So there's a lot of pruning that continually has to happen with it. But boy, does it produce once you get it going. And so that's exciting to hear that more and more folks are growing it because it is one of my favorites.
We've talked to quite a few wineries around, and they've got Norton planted in the ground. So it is pretty hardy. So if anybody out there wants to plant grapes and looking at something, Norton is, like Daphne said, it's a little tough to get started. But it's hardy. It will withstand cold weather and hot weather. And like I say, there's a guy that has it planted here in Florida, and it's surviving here and thriving. And also it's planted throughout the Midwest and the cold weather and all that there. So,
well, it's fairly disease resistant too, because it is, it's used to the American climate. So that's the good thing. So many of these French hybrids, you're continually having to spray every couple of weeks for, the mold and the mildew and the moisture and the bugs. And boy, that Norton, once it gets going, you can just kind of let it be. So it's a nice grape. My husband's growing it, and we're having a lot of fun with it.
Are you? Really? Oh, good. Yeah, this, I don't know if you're familiar with Pierce disease. Pierce disease is spread by a little bug called the glassy-winged sharpshooter. It's used in the warm climate. The glassy-winged sharpshooter doesn't survive in the colder climates. And it's about the size of a dime in its adult stage. Pierce disease it gets into the grapevines and kills the grapevines. It's a bad thing in warmer climates, and it's any warmer climates throughout the United States. Southern California is always battling it and all that. And we can't grow the vinifera, and just about any grape down here except for the Blabruska and the Rotundifolia grow. And the Norton, the winery not too far from where we are, grows the Norton. And it tests positive to the Pierce disease every time he has it tested, but yet it's not dying. It's surviving, it's thriving, and it's doing very well. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, you mentioned all the disease and everything. Pierce disease could be added to that list because it's been survived. Everybody down here in Florida is excited about the possibilities of the Norton now. If it will resist Pierce disease and continue to thrive, it gives us a whole new possibility of wine and a grape to grow. So,
right.
It's really quite exciting, the possibilities on that. Excelsior Springs. Why Excelsior Springs?
We were from Kansas City, and we still do, but we love to travel to Colorado. It's one of our favorite states to visit, and it's fairly close. It's a 10-hour drive, and so We happened upon Excelsior Springs just on a whim, and it reminded us of a little Colorado mountain town with its rolling hills and its you know, 100-year-old buildings and its sweet streets, and we just fell in love with it. And then had an opportunity to purchase a little house. It was very reasonably priced, and so my husband just bought it and started working on it. And then the next thing you know, we've fallen in love with the house. We've fallen in love with the town. We fell in love with the Historic Elms Hotel, which is right by the house, and started just enjoying this sweet little town. And then decided, as you know, we were raising three children, we wanted to move to a little suburb that kind of had that Mayberry feel, and this reminded us of that, but it still had a little bit of culture and character and charm. And so looked into some buildings and weren't quite sure. My husband was building cabinets and doing some different things. He's a handyman, and so we happened upon a building that we couldn't pass up. It was built in 1907, needed some love and attention, and you know, got a nice opportunity with it. Felt like it was within our budget, and we actually opened our business originally to be a little woodworking and antique shop, and then quickly, I know it's crazy, we've completely morphed, but quickly learned that you could only sell a table or cabinets to somebody every so often, but you could sell consumable items a little more frequently. Even though they were a lower dollar item, you could keep them coming back if you had a good product. And so we actually started adding coffees and teas to our antique and shop concept. And then what happened is we were trying to do a business that our heart wasn't completely in, but that the town said, oh, if you're going to buy a building, an antique shop downtown would be great. And once we realized that wasn't going to work for us, that we actually needed to develop a concept that we bought into, our shop took off. We added coffees, teas, consumable items, and some gifts and some art. Started having everything that we knew and loved started going into our shop. And in our third year of business, once we added the Missouri wines, the whole thing made sense, and it all kind of came together. And the wine brought the food. And then, you know, we added the bistro a year later. And so now we have morphed into a little Missouri wine shop that happens to have a great little bistro and handmade art and gifts. And it's a great tourist destination, as well as our locals love to come here. So we've actually added everything that we know and love into the shop, into a town that we love. And now it all makes sense, and we're making, you know, a nice living and raising our family in a town where our kids can still ride their bikes up and down the streets and walk to the ice cream shop and walk to the chocolate shop. And, you know, everybody knows your children, and you know everybody else's children. And it's very fun, yet we still have culture. And yeah, we have a winery in our town. We have our wine shop. We have several restaurants that are very nice. We have five art galleries. We have little boutique shops and gourmet food shops. And it's what when you think you want to start a business, it's everything that you dream it would be. I honestly never thought I'd be doing this several years ago, but now I can't imagine doing anything else, and it's so much fun.
The Excelsior Springs, and I have to reiterate on what you were saying about a few things on that. I grew up in North Kansas City, Missouri, which is only maybe an hour away, if that far. I mean, it's back in the old days, it used to be 45 minutes. Now you can probably do it in 25 or 30 minutes.
Yeah. I tell people we're 30 minutes close and 1,000 miles away.
And that's about right.
Yeah, we are. We're near a major metropolitan city.
And Kansas City's just, you know, down the road, really. Anything you want there. I mean, anywhere from Major League Baseball and football to art galleries and convention centers and just about anything you want. But Excelsior Springs itself, and like Daphne said, and I've been there, is really a small little quaint town, little narrow streets, not set up in a square or anything. They just run all sorts of different directions. You have the Hall of Waters, which I mentioned at the beginning of the program, which is a therapeutic waters that was discovered many, many years ago, and it's still looked at as for that purpose in there. And they just about everything in the little town of Excelsior Springs. I have a very good friend who's the minister of the Christian church in that town, as a matter of fact. And
oh, how fun.
Yeah, I grew up with him, and he's minister of the Christian church there, and he's loved the town now. He's lived there for about 12 years, and he absolutely loves the little town of Excelsior Springs. So I understand what you're saying. It is a great little town, and it's got just a great little atmosphere and everything, and it gives you that classic old Missouri feel and look about it that is just disappearing, I think, in so many places.
It really is, and that's the tourism that we've developed is people who are wanting to just get away for a little bit and experience a slower pace. And, you know, the Elms Hotel is probably the grounding business for the tourism industry in our town. It's a 125-year-old hotel that just underwent a $16 million renovation, and just it was jaw-dropping. You know, last year before the renovation, it was beautiful, it was spectacular, amazing staff, just a great place to sneak away and slow down, a romantic getaway. And now with this renovation, I walked in the other day and I almost teared up. It was so beautiful, and I was so excited to see everything that they've done to it. And it's even better than ever. It's got a world-class spa in the basement, and it's got an amazing chef now that was much needed. The restaurant needed some tender loving care, and they have a chef who's traveled all over the world and worked, you know, from Brazil to Europe, all over, and has now come to Excelsior Springs and is now putting some amazing talents into the restaurant there, and the food is just amazing. The wine list there, they carry some Missouri wines, but they carry some wines from all over the world. So it's a great aspect of our town, and it's very exciting to watch folks from all over come and stay there and then meander downtown and enjoy kind of the quaint, sweet streets that we've built.
The town of Excelsior Springs, for anyone who is interested too, is located just northeast of Kansas City. I mean, it's a very easy ride just northeast of Kansas City. All sorts of good roads lead in that direction. So if you're ever in that area, it is well worth checking it out. While we're talking, though, I do want to ask you about, while I was there, Jim took me on a tour of the place. He took me downstairs, showed me the place he was fixing up downstairs and the wine racks and everything. He's hoped to have finished by the end of the month. Did he get it finished by the end of the month?
No.
Okay.
It's close. You know how renovation projects go. I tell people, you double your anticipated amount of time and add two more months. So he thought he'd have it done in a couple months. I'm guessing it's going to be about 6 months. So we're a couple months into it. So we have a couple months left. He actually has done quite a bit of work since you were here last time. But, you know, he still has to run the business, too. And I keep him very busy. If he could just work on that, it would have been done. But I've got a honey-do list a mile long of things that, you know, have to be handled to keep our business running every day. So the poor guy, I would tell you, it is not his fault. But it is, I'm actually looking at it as I'm sitting here with a cup of coffee, and he's got a lot done, and it's going to be beautiful. The ceiling and the lights are up. Half the wine rack is built, and we've got to finish the floors, stain and paint the ceiling, and we've got a small wall to add, and then the furniture gets to start coming in. So we're a couple months away, but I think his part will probably be done in the next month, and then it's up to probably me and the rest of the staff to get it finished. So
it was looking good. I have to tell you, though, he was doing a great job from what I saw. For you listeners out there, you walk in the front door, you have a very old building. I mean, it reminds you of an old drugstore or something that you may have went into when you were a child. And those of you who are young listening to us, I can't think of anything that would equate to the building. I mean, it's just there's nothing like that anymore. But you walk in the Forest Creek a little bit. You go straight through. There's stairs that lead down the back. And you go one little short flight of stairs, and you turn to your right. And this is the room that Jim is renovating. It is going to be a another dining area, if I'm not correct. Correct? Is that right?
It's going to be a multi-purpose room. We actually have put cable down there. We're going to put a flat-screen TV where we could actually do some maybe some wine 101 classes. We might be able to show, you know, some fun wine movies. Yeah, Bottle Shock is one of my favorite movies, and I want to share it with my friends. And so we'll be able to. The room is actually a cellar. It's got one wall is all solid stone. One wall is all brick from the next building that they built our building right up to. And then one wall is going to be all the wine rack that was another exterior wall. Old concrete floors, big old, bracing pillars that kind of hold the ceiling in the building up, you know, and the level above it up. And so it's going to be spectacular when it's all done, but it's going to have the feel of walking down into a cellar with the stone walls and the brick walls and the soft lighting. And we're going to be bringing in some wine barrel tables and some pendant lighting. And so it will be, you know, on a daily use, it'll probably be, you know, more bistro and restaurant seating. But on special uses, it'll be, special wine dinners for corporate groups or wedding rehearsal dinners, training class. You know, we have more and more folks needing small event space. So that will be an area where we can kind of give them their own private space in a really nice atmosphere while they're conducting business or pleasure, whatever they're needing to do there. But, yeah, it's another 900 feet to our business, which is much needed because we've outgrown just about every nook and cranny in this building. So we've got to have more space.
It is a very nice space there. Plus, you have that little dining area to the left of that, too. That's to the right, and then to the left you have the little dining area also. So there's quite a bit of table space there, and you have events and all sorts of stuff. And the Missouri Wine, I'm glad to hear that it's a big part of the business there because who have – you know, things like wine out there, the more that people will start getting into it, and it's better for everybody, I think.
Yeah, our Missouri Wine and Grape Board, that it kind of is the marketing arm that oversees our wine industry, has just in the last 7 years done an amazing job of bringing all of the wineries together. And, you know, I mean, the power of several can completely move forward and impact at a much more profound level than if just each individual winery were trying to market themselves on their own. And so I give a large portion of the credit for this industry becoming such a role model to other states and their wine industry to our Missouri Wine and Grape Board. The Deneen Beadle, who kind of oversees the marketing part of it, she's kind of the face of the Wine and Grape Board. She does a great job at bringing everybody together, creating cohesiveness, understanding that every winery can succeed together, and it's not just one winery winning and, you know, getting all of the business. The more that they have come together, the more people that they have brought to the industry. And actually, I just was finishing up. We do a Missouri Wine Festival every year here in Excelsior Springs. And
oh, wow.
We started a few years ago. I think this was our sixth year. And our first year, we started with just three wineries. And now this last year when we did it, we had 16 wineries, and it's a lot of fun. We just had our meeting. We plan all year long for the festival that happens every June or July. And this year in 2013, mark your calendars, we will have the wine festival just off of the Elms lawn in Excelsior Springs. It's slated for June 22nd. It's a Saturday, 2013, and it looks like it's going to run from about 1 to 8, and that will include an evening of wine, craft and fine art, live music, food, and we bring the wineries in for the day, and you get to meander among all the art and the trees and just kind of stroll up and down the street and enjoy the wines that all of the wineries bring for the afternoon. It's so much fun. And We usually see crowds of about 1,000 for that, so we're hoping to bump that up this year. We've kind of expanded the grounds for it and created some fun new things that I can't tell yet because they're still in planning stages. But there's a lot of neat things getting ready to go into that for our 7th annual wine festival that showcases the best of Missouri wines here in Excelsior Springs.
Sounds fascinating. I want to bring up another thing, too. I know the program's called All About Wines, but you do sell some Missouri craft beers there. So if anyone comes in and, oh, I don't drink wine, do you have a beer? You can say, yes, we have beer.
And that's kind of what happened is we would have, especially with the Elms Hotel, we get wonderful, cute couples getting away, romantic getaway weekends. And they would come in and we would offer to do a complimentary wine tasting as they're meandering around the shop. And usually one would say yes and one would say, oh, no, I'm a beer drinker. And so, you know, just by the nature of hearing that a few times, we kind of looked at each other and went, well, why aren't we carrying beer? And so, you know, you evolve as you listen to your customer base and figure out what's going to work. And so we added, I think, our first Missouri craft beer. It was, we decided to kick it off in March for St. Patty's Day, and it was an Irish pub about 45 minutes from us in Weston, Missouri. So we brought O'Malley's in, and I think we did 4 or 5 of their beers, and now we're up to probably 25 or 30 Missouri craft beers from 5 or 6 different breweries. And
wow,
that's another avenue that's growing all the time. And we've done a few, you know, we do a 4-course wine dinner every single month with a different winery. But about once or twice a year, we bring in a brewery and we do a 5-to-4-course beer and food pairing, which is a lot of fun. And so, you know, we have a lot of ladies who love the wine and their husband are beer drinkers. So it's fun. The husbands come to the 4-course wine dinner faithfully, you know, month after month. And then once or twice a year, they just get so tickled because then they get to bring their wives to the beer dinner. And so everybody's happy.
Yes, it sounds like a great way to do it. Because I get that a lot of times. People come in to the winery and say, well, I don't drink wine. Do you have any beer? And I go, no, sorry, I drank it all. And so that's usually my response. But that's a good idea, keeping everybody happy.
That's right. You got to offer something for everybody every now and then. Doesn't have to be all the time, but on special occasion. But the Missouri craft beers are really growing, and that's fun to see. And actually what we're finding is, you know, we have people all the time that walk in that enjoy both. And so I just had a lady today come in, and she got 5 bottles of wine and 2 6-packs of, you know, a variety of craft beers to take home. So, you know, it's nice because, again, it's kind of a natural crossover with the two. So we're able to meet some you know, requests of folks and a wider customer base that way. And, again, still keep it local. It's all Missouri craft beers from our local breweries. So it's
fantastic.
A lot of fun.
Mike, do you have any questions for Daphne?
Yeah, my audio has been cutting out because of the stupid thunderstorms that visiting us again. So I might have missed this, but you said once a month you bring back 30 to 40 cases that you go out to the wineries. And is there any particular method you use to visit the, you know, to select which wineries? Do you hit them all, or is it based on inventory, or how do you select that?
Well, it's based on whether they want to be able to, if they distribute or wholesale. A lot of our wineries here are just not large enough to be able to wholesale because they don't have enough. Our industry is growing so quickly that a lot of them don't have enough wine for their own shops or their own wineries, let alone giving it away at a wholesale price to someone like me. So we are open. I tell all of our customers when they come in, if there is a winery that you like that's not on our shelf that you want us to carry, goodness sakes, we're going to go out and try and get it for you. And so that's kind of how it's grown, based on customer request. But also, you know, we have this great Missouri wine book that has basically a tour of Missouri and all the wineries. And so if we're heading out to a certain area and we see, oh, my gosh, you know, we haven't been to Holt Summit and there's a winery there. We haven't been to Fulton and there's a winery there. We're going to be passing right through it. We'll stop and do a wine tasting and let them know who we are, what we do, and see if they have the ability to allow us to bring the wines back. And so we've started that way. And then, again, mostly just the route that we do, and then making sure that the wineries have the ability to wholesale to us. They have to have a special license to be able to wholesale, so they have to make, we have to make sure they have that license. And then just our customers telling us who they want to see in the shop, or, you know, where they've been. You know, I mean, we're right now, it's, the industry is growing so fast that I used to feel like I knew all of the wineries, and now almost regularly, weekly, I have somebody come in and go, oh, have you found, have you been to the new winery in so-and-so? And I'm like, haven't been to that one. So, you know, that's what we're very excited about, heading down to southern Missouri later this month. We're going to hit a bunch of wineries that we didn't have or haven't heard of before, and so we're going to get down there and see those, and then hopefully we'll be able to add southern Missouri as part of our wine route. So, so anyway, does that answer your question?
Yeah, very, very good. Very
good.
Thank you. How was your climate there?
Oh, it's actually a pretty easy climate. We get, you know, several inches of snow, cold winters, very hot, humid summers. That's the hardest part for growing grapes in Missouri. We have lots of moisture, and grapes really don't like moisture on the actual grapes. Obviously, they need some water in the ground. This was for, you know, most of our country, just like us, this was a very dry year. For new grapes, it was very tough, and I know our little vineyard that we've been playing around with really struggled, and we had to haul water daily to try and keep our little rootstock going and growing, and it basically just, we got our grapes up to the wire this year. But for the wineries that had established vines, our dry climate this year was wonderful, and I cannot wait for the next year or so to see the really neat reds that are going to come out of Missouri from the summer that we had. But you know, we get hot, humid summers, and we get cold, wet winters, and so we grow a lot of grapes that can handle those extreme climate changes and actually are okay with that moisture. So that's why the Norton is so nice; that moisture doesn't bother it at all. But it's a pretty easy climate. We always say in Missouri, if you don't like the weather, wait, it's going to change, because every day it's different around here.
Just like yesterday and today, too. Yesterday it was up to the mid-80s, and today the high was only, what, 58 or something?
I was going to say, I know when I looked at my thermometer, it was like 51 mid-afternoon. And, yeah, and
oh,
yesterday
wow.
I was, you know, I had sweat on my brow. So, yeah, you never know in our state what's going to be going on.
Yeah, it just, it's ridiculous. The cold front's come through, or that cold wind comes out of Colorado and it whips in there and it drops that temperature down so low, and it just, it chills you to the bone. I grew up there. Believe me, it chills you to the bone. I know what that's like. So anything else, Mike?
I think that's it. Thank you very much for answering my questions. I know you have events there other than just the wine festival each year. You stay pretty busy, it looks like. So you have different things going on. It looks like Saturdays and Sundays at the Bistro, and quite a few things there in town as well. So sounds great. It's,
yeah,
sounds like a good.
We have a lot of fun. We've learned by bringing small, simple events into our shop and into our town, it, you know, it gives people something else to do besides just wandering in and, you know, expecting people to walk in and shop. We love to be able to have live music and fun activities, and, you know, the wine tasting is an event in itself. People come to enjoy just the, you know, the wine tasting that we do, and you don't get many shops who just, when you walk in the door, the first thing they say is, hey, you want to have a little sample of wine as you're meandering around? You can always tell somebody who's been here for the first time, because they look at each other, you know, if there's a couple, they look at each other like, did she really just ask us if we want free wine? You know, and so it's always fun, and it's a great way to break the ice with folks, because after a sip or so of wine, pretty soon you're sharing stories and talking, and you take a complete stranger and turn them into a friend fairly quickly, and it's been a real fun part of our business.
Who does your cooking there?
We all work together. I have, originally when we first started, it was my husband and myself. We love food. We both worked in the restaurant industry for years. We were in the front of the house, but we had some amazing friends who are chefs, and so we got to enjoy their food and learn from them. And so when we first started, you know, it actually started as we would do wine tastings, people would, you know, after five or six samples, we'd go, oh, my gosh, do you have anything to eat? And we're like, oh, no, we don't have a restaurant. We just, you know, give people wine. And then we went, well, maybe we should think about this. And so very quickly we learned we needed something for folks to snack on. So, you know, went to the health department, asked what we needed to do. And so we thought, well, we'll start with packaged cheeses and crackers. That'll be good. And the next thing you know, people are like, oh, don't you have anything more? Do you have a sandwich? I'm like, well, I have some bread downstairs. Maybe I could make you something. And then pretty soon one sandwich turns to four, and now we have a two-page menu and a four-course wine dinner. And it's been a lot of fun. But, you know, I tell everybody when they walk in, I said our store really has evolved and changed based on when people walk in the door, what kind of experience they're wanting or expecting. And, you know, if it makes sense and we can do it and provide it, then we head down that road. And there's one thing that's always the same at our store, and that's that it's always changing. Even our staff is like, oh, what's new today? Like, you know, they can't keep up with it, but that's the fun, is people are always walking in going, okay, what's new? What's new? Whether it be the wines or the beers or the decor on the walls or the menu. I'm actually getting ready to roll out a new fall menu. And so everybody's excited to see what new salads and what new sandwiches are, you know, going to be on the fall menu. So that's the fun of it.
This sounds exciting. The we were talking earlier about the number of wines you carry. I did do a count on your list you gave me. You have 273 wines listed. That represents 24 different wineries. So.
Wow, really, that many?
Yes, 273 different ones.
Holy.
Now this
are
is on
sure
the
you
list.
You counted right.
Yeah, I'm positive. I double checked and did it with a calculator. 1, 2, and then I did it again. 1, 2. So that must be 2 on that one. So,
oh my goodness!
Yeah.
See, I need to count. I so underestimate what we're doing.
273 wines, 24 different wineries. So.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you. I'm going to write that down and share that with folks now.
Yeah, and that's just on the current list. Now, if you go do your next shopping spree, that will probably change. But
it's going to go up again, yeah. So now you know why we say we have the world's largest selection of Missouri wines.
Yes, there you go. That's why, because you actually do.
And I know, and nobody in Oregon or Florida has more Missouri wines than I do. It's amazing.
Well, you know, like I said at the beginning of the program, you boast the largest selection in the United States of Missouri wines, and I said, and that would probably trickle over around the world, because I can't think of anyone around the world that would carry it. If you're the best in the biggest in the United States with Missouri wines, it would have to include the world. So
yes, it does. And actually, if you want to go one step farther, probably the universe.
Hey, it's true, very true. Because if you've got the world, you've got the universe. That's true.
How far can we take it?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Okay.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
So, Daphne, thank you for your time. There's anything else you'd like to bring up before?
Oh, no. You guys have covered it. This has been such an honor and such a delight. I'm so grateful that we got to meet you and do this. This was fun. And
yes,
I've never done anything like this before, but hopefully some folks got some good information. And if I'd love to tell anybody, if you heard the show tonight and you can make it up to Excelsior Springs and see us sometime, please let me know that you heard us on the show. We'd love to meet you and see you and have you make a trip to Excelsior Springs, Missouri, and turn another stranger into a dear friend. So
give us your information
to more folks.
Give us your information, everything, your web address, your email, your address, phone numbers, Facebook, Twitter, any and everything.
Okay, let's start out. We are at Willow Spring Mercantile, and that's on Facebook, and that's Spring, no S. That's S-P-R-I-N-G, no S at the end, Willow Spring Mercantile on Facebook. We don't Twitter, but we do have an amazing website that's very thorough and keeps you up to date on all of our events and our wine dinners and our Second Friday Art Crawls, and that's www.shopthemercantile.com. And if you ever want to email us, it's very simple. It's shopthemercantile@yahoo.com. And we're at 249 East Broadway, Excelsior Springs, Missouri, 64024, and our phone number is 816 630 shop, S-H-O-P, that's 7467. And you can learn all about Excelsior Springs by visiting our Excelsior Springs website at www.visitesprings.com. That
Very
was a
good.
Lot of information. You think everybody got it?
Hey, most people listen to this on to downloads, and they can back it up and listen to it again if they didn't. So.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Well, I can't wait to see folks. So this has been so much fun, and like I said, this was a huge honor that you wanted us to do this. Thank you very much.
We appreciate you taking the time out to join us on the program, and it's fantastic that you're carrying so many Missouri wines. The largest, the largest retailer of Missouri wines in the universe. So
there we go. That's awesome.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Daphne.
You're welcome. We'll see you on your next visit to Kansas City.
I will definitely do that. I'll stop by and visit with you. And best of luck to you and Jim. And we'll be seeing you next time in that area.
Thank you so much. We'll talk
You're
to
welcome.
You soon. All right.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Woo-hoo.
All right.
Wow. I was sending out tweets on Twitter, just keeping people updated. Very interesting. Wow.
Yeah. And that's about wine. I mean, this is what the program's all about, wine. And, you have a shop like that that carries the most wine of a state, that's interesting. And that's, it's interesting that they do that. I want to throw out something here before we go. At the beginning of the program, Daphne said that they were busy selling their pumpkin wine, and she described it. Let me give you information for Wynwood Farm Winery. I don't know how much pumpkin wine they have. I don't know if they can ship it to you. But if anyone out there is interested in it, it's Wynwood Farm Winery. That's W-E-N, Wood, Wynwood Farm Winery. They're located at 1132 Brick Church Road, B-R-I-C-K, Church, C-H-U-R-C-H, Road, in Bland, Missouri, B-L-A-N-D, Missouri, 65014. Their phone number, 573-437-3443, and their website is windwoodfarmwinery.com, and so you can go onto the website or whatever. But if you're interested in that pumpkin wine that was mentioned at the beginning there, and it sounds very good, sounds interesting, then that's where they're getting it from.
Yeah, it does sound good.
It did sound good. That time of year too.
That would be perfect. That would be perfect for the rest of this month and through November, some in December. Yeah, all of December. Yeah, sounds very good. And it's a Riesling. She said a Riesling style.
Just a hint of the pumpkin and the spices in it. That would be interesting. That really would. I don't know where Bend, Missouri is. I'm not familiar with Bend. But
what's it called?
Bend, Missouri. B-E-N-D. Oh. Bend. I'm sorry. Bland. Bland, Missouri. B-L-A-N-D. Bland, Missouri. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with Bland, Missouri. It shows Bland as central region, so it's within the central part of the state. Let's see. She gave me one
it
of those.
It is near State Highway A.
Which is the east central part.
North of Interstate, north of Rolla, and north of Interstate 44, just west of St. Louis. Well, west.
Well, yeah.
Quite a ways.
North of St. James. That's, St. James is.
Yes.
There's a big winery there. So north of St. James. So there's Bland, Missouri. But pumpkin. When I was back in Missouri in Iowa, they had. We passed by this one place that was packed. We passed by it on a Sunday, and the place was packed. And I looked at it, and it was a great big pumpkin field. You pick pumpkin patch, and they had a whole bunch of pumpkins you don't have to go out and pick, and a corn maze where you can wander around, which is unusual because the corn, such a drought this summer, the corn wasn't nearly as high as it should have been, but still it was high enough for a corn maze. And So the classic corn maize and pumpkin patch there. I thought that was rather cool. Nothing to do with wine, but it was just really a cool thing to see. So.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Very good. How about we take a minute break, and we'll be right back with the, I don't know what you call it, closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. I like that.
Yes. Right here on All About Wine. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Oh, wait. Let me get my... Get on the floor here.
Oh,
there
yes.
we go.
Get ready to stand.
And there we go. Hit the music.
Everybody down.
Coming up this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's Wine Fest at Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Come out and enjoy the live music. Relax with a glass of world-class wine. Participate in an informative wine tasting with Ron. Have fun and shop our vendors offering many unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Wine Fest is a great time to pick up unique gift items. Enjoy your weekend with us at Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From I-75, take exit 285 and turn west for approximately 4 miles. See you Saturday at Wine Fest.
Yeah, okay.
See ya. I only heard half of that because the audio keeps skipping. But, yeah, that's this Saturday, October 6th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come out and enjoy the weekend. You have live entertainment. You can also have a glass of wine, relax, and enjoy the day. There's going to be wine tastings with Ron. That's
hey.
Right. And, yeah, I didn't hear the clapping. They probably all went
no,
indoors.
And, I mean, they all got electrocuted.
Okay. Don's Wooden Things, he's going to have clocks, puzzles, all kinds of stuff there. Jamie is going to be there with Organo Gold Healthy Coffee. That's interesting.
Good coffee.
Okay.
Good coffee.
Yeah. And let's see. There's going to be Scentsy is going to be there. Ginny's going to be returning with Avon. Let's see. Handmade jewelry items with Jennifer, glass photo, pendant, necklaces, all that really cool stuff this Saturday. So come on out. Shopping is going to be fun, and it's a great chance to pick up some great handcrafted and gift items. So enjoy the weekend at Florida Estates Winery. The weather is going to be beautiful underneath the oaks, and, of course, shopping is always fun. So, you know, head on out there and have fun at the winery this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you'll hear the address again during the ending here. But next week, October the 11th, we will be on again, and we are going to try and secure another guest for the show from that next week is going to be the one from Down Under.
Yes, if we can figure out how to do the Skype and get a hold of him. He's on Skype. We're on Skype. Our guest is going to be from Australia, Sydney, and so we're and our 7 o'clock showtime here will be 9 a.m. Friday morning there.
Wow.
So, we'll still be live with him, but he's going to be on the air at 9 a.m. I always like to point out that I always know that the world's not going to end today because it's already tomorrow in Australia.
Okay.
It's true. The world's not going to end for us today because it's already tomorrow. And if the world ended, it wouldn't be today. For them.
All right. There's always tomorrow somewhere.
Closing thought.
Yes. You know, that one's going to keep me awake all night thinking about, wait a second, what now? So join us next week, and we're more than likely going to have a guest from Australia. So that'll be cool, and I'll have to work on my Australian accent. And you can too as well, Ron. So we kind of fit in with that.
Hi, how you doing?
Yes.
That also
right down. Brilliant. Cheers. No, that's is that Britain? I wonder if they do that. Good day. There we go. Good day, mate. Write that down. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm starting already. You know, this is how it is here. a week in advance starting on the show. All right. Thank you all for tuning in tonight, and I really appreciate it. And for those of you archive listeners out there, well, we're still live, so that's cool. Thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you all next week on October the 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio on All About Wine.
If you have any subjects or anything, email us, Facebook us, get in touch with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the email address and information is coming up right after this. Oh, do we have to get back on the door, on the floor? Hold on a second.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We'll see you all next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in, everyone.
Woohoo! Bye.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show, and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/AllAboutWineBTR. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75, take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for retail sales and wine tasting. Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly, and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Again, that's floridaestateswines.com. Be sure to subscribe to our informative bi-weekly newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.